Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hola, I'm Susie Perry. Welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast from Barcelona. What a couple of weeks it's been for Andrea Dovizioso. Two wins in his career until 2 weeks ago, and then two in 8 days. In this podcast, you can hear from Dovi, Marc Marquez, Danny Pedrosa, Joan Zarco, Davide Tardozzi, Alex Marquez, Tom Lutie, Joan Mir, Jorge Martin, Colin Edwards, Neil Hodgson, Gavin Emmett, Keith Ewan, and Julian Ryder. But before we do, here is how the MotoGP race was won.
Andrea Dovizioso is going to win the Grand Prix of Catalunya. For the second weekend in a row, it is the Italian Ona Ducati that takes the top slot and the win. Gigi Delinea, along with Paolo Giabatti, is absolutely ecstatic with a big wheelie over the line. A class finish for a class act on a motorcycle that's come good at the right time of the year. Marc Marquez is second. Danny Pedrosa, the pole man, ends up in third place. Zarco is just about going to roll through.
Lorenzo's across the line in fourth.
In fifth place, Zarco goes through from Folger. And that is a better Grand Prix than I thought we were going to get tyre-wise. I thought it was going to be a real lottery towards the end. Bautista gets seventh. Rossi is eighth. Barbara in front of Vinales in 10th place. Crutchlow hangs on for 11th from Baz. Redding, Abraham should be next up for a couple of points. And Rabat should get a point in 15th place as well.
We are here in the centre of the party, Italian party, Davide Tardozzi, very excited. This is such a great day for the team.
Yeah, since we do not have any more those fast riders on the grid, it seems everything is easier. Anyway, Dovi did a fantastic job, while Jorge did a good job too, because he did a fourth place because he wants this place, and he recovered a good position in the end. And as a team, we are very, very happy.
What's the difference at the moment between Jorge and Andrea?
First of all, Jorge had the hard tire on the back. He made this choice that it seems that he paid in the end of the race, but in the middle, he was scared to push. He had not the best feeling. The difference is that Andrea knows very well this bike. It's suiting his riding style, braking hard and staying lean, not so much, while Jorge is leaning a lot and he carried the corner speed, and our bike, it seems that doesn't carry the corner speed like he wants.
Okay, so as far as I've never really quite seen such a tactical looking race. Dovi got out right behind Pedrosa and just sat there and sat there. We know that Ducati can pass the Honda any day of the week. Was this something y'all discussed? Was this a plan?
Yeah, this is what we discussed this morning after the warm-up. And I guess that is almost obvious that Dovi stayed there for 10 laps waiting. And then when he decided to go, he passed Danny quite easy and he go out.
And obviously, every year's a big year, but it's a big year for Ducati, a massive investment with the Jorge. Be honest with us, were you starting to panic a little bit? The start of the season, there were some areas where it didn't look fantastic. Did you always believe, did you know that this day was coming?
That's our strength. We always trust.
You always believe? Yeah,
we always believe that Jorge can do it. Jorge is a good team rider because he makes a good atmosphere. He went under the podium even here to clap the hands to Dovi, and the relationship between him, the engineer, and Dovi is perfect.
And have you made any small changes, though, for these, let's say, for these last two rounds? Because taking the wings off your... The wing ban has affected you guys more than anybody. Have you been changing something to, you know, to make the difference?
I think that the last test we did here and Mugello helps us a lot. But, I mean, it's just a matter of setting. We didn't change big things. We set better the bike on the electronics. And we found something good for Dovi, that it seems that it works perfectly in Mugello and here.
And the change of the tyres that we've talked about endlessly, the change of the Michelin tyres, that's obviously helped you guys as well.
The change of the front tyre?
Yeah.
We was against. Jorge was against.
I know,
and
Jorge,
Dovi, for Dovi was... no problem. I mean, one or the other was the same.
But Cal Crutchlow told us they were building a Ducati tire.
Yeah, they were.
No, and what? And
Cal
also...
is always funny, but he has to remember that Honda won in Jerez dominating. Yamaha was incredibly dominating in Le Mans. And
but we
Cal is very funny.
And we talked about it, the team, and what Susie was talking about, it being a stronger construction for Dovizioso. That suits his style with his heavy braking.
Yeah,
that seems to have worked.
That's why...
But this way, since they've changed the front tyre, he's won two races.
Well, yeah.
He's not
won
a race
on, no.
In 166 races.
Dovi always said that for him it was not a problem, one or the other, while Jorge preferred the other.
Okay.
Can we talk about what you just mentioned there about Jorge with the corner speed? Because that's not a way the Ducati works, is it? So has he got to work more on his style?
Normally not. Ducati has a good engine on the straight and brakes really well. He's very good on braking. And normally the rider pick up immediately the bike to have the good acceleration we have.
I don't know what he was doing toward the end of the race. Obviously, the beginning okay, something in the middle. But at the end of the race, he looked great. His pace looked good. He passed some guys. He looked fantastic.
Yeah, honestly, we haven't discussed yet about the central part of the race. I will ask later when he's more relaxed, because I'm not really happy about those laps. He did 6-7 laps very slow. I do not know why. We will discuss about this later on, but in the end, he did a good start and a good end.
It looked like he lost his rhythm a little bit there, I'm guessing. One question I've got for you. So has Ducati's main problem of this turning that we've talked about, and I know you're bored of talking about it because it's all that we talk about, are they solved now? Have they gone?
No, he's not solved. It's not solved.
Still an area you need to work on.
The problem's still there. We need to work on the frame, on a few parts of the bike to help the rider for the turning.
Davide, thanks so much for your insight.
Good to you.
And thanks for your time, as always. Always really fascinating.
Thanks.
Thank you. Let's hear from the race winner today. Here's Andrea Dovizioso with Gav.
Dovi, if last week was bellissimo, I'm not sure what's better than that this week, because you've done it to perfection. Tactically, how hard was that race to work out?
It was a very strange race, like I said before the race, and it was even more, because to win a race and don't push 100% never happened to me. It's something very strange, because the heat was too much and there was no grip. And you couldn't push because the front tire, but especially the rear, the drop, it was too much.
So how do you control that?
I didn't push. I was behind Danny, and also Danny didn't push. We ride in a really smooth way. I think both we put a very smooth map about the power. We never use the potential of the bike. And also with that, we finished the tire at the end of the race. So it was the right strategy, but it's so nice to be to leading, to be on front and not pushing. It's something really strange that it happened today. Wow, when you have that feeling, you can realize nothing is impossible in life. It's very difficult to explain, but it was like this.
Clearly nothing's impossible. The championship isn't impossible. You're 7 points behind. There is still 11 races to go after this one, and some strong ones for you coming up.
Well, I don't want to say anything about championship, because every time we're going in the track, we say something and a different thing. So I don't know, and I will leave every weekend like the first race.
I know you couldn't believe it in Mugello, but now to win two in the dry, back-to-back, what does that mean about you, the Ducati, the whole package, the whole team, how it's working?
Well, this weekend it was a strange weekend, not the normal weekend of MotoGP. But at the end, everybody are in the same situation, and we manage in a better way. So, for sure, now we feel more confident and to thinking about the championship. But to say we can fight for the championship is not the time to thinking about that. And still, we have a few things where we have to improve to be really competitive. So, I'm focused on that, because I know very well what we need.
We'll just say super bellissimo then and enjoy it. Congratulations yet again, Andrea. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, bellissimo again. Come on now.
Showing off.
Totally bellissimo. These are fantastic celebrations. And he had a bit more in the can.
And just hats off. Hats off to him for being so honest. It's not like, well, I did everything I could do. You know, I mean, that's normally how we felt when we won races. He was totally honest about it. I didn't push. No, I was just cruising around.
Yeah, and that's not arrogant. That's just pure honesty. He was surprised by that, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he knows how hard he's pushed in the past to finish eighth place in races, fifth place. You know, your ride is just as hard. And just, I think a lot of it is his mental state. He's in such a good place. Yeah. He's got that last bit. I always talk about the confidence. And it's your perfect example. He'd never won in the dry. He wins one and then he wins the weekend after. I mean, it's all about confidence.
Exceptional, isn't it? Right, shall we start? Go back to the start then and have a look? Because, there was action from the start, really.
Yeah, there was...
Can you explain this to us?
And I don't know what happened here. I don't think he intentionally went left. You just kind of get your balance that way. Front wheel's a little bit in the air. Next thing you know, there's Marquez. And, it could have turned out really ugly. I crashed one time in I think it was 03 on the Aprilia, like this on the front straight. In South Africa, and it was not nice. But so, I mean, fortunately, they were all up and okay and continued.
Let's see if Mark says something about this. We can hear from him now because he's chatting with Gavin.
Mark, I don't know if you count the fall on the podium to add to your falls this weekend, but I don't know how you do it throughout the weekend. All those crashes that you have, trying to find the limit, and yet you bring the bike home. Just tell us how you've managed it this weekend.
Honestly, before the race, I felt much more pressure than when I fight for the championship in the last race. After five crashes during the weekend, every time, if you check a little bit, it was after 10 laps, one crash. No, this was difficult. Even I crashed on the pit lane this morning. So it was really difficult. And I know that if I didn't finish the race, the people, the journalists, will push me.
We would never dream of it.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but you do your job, and I'm completely agree, because it's like this. But anyway, when you need to make the differences in these situations, you need to keep strong, keep your style, and before the race, I say, hey, this Mark won on 2013, 14. We must to keep pushing. We must to believe. We never give up. And in the end, on the race, I was careful, of course, but I push like always.
Dovi was saying about how smooth you had to ride today to keep the tires in check. How hard is that for you to change the style a little bit?
Yeah, it was really difficult, and even like me, I was riding quite smooth for my style. I was trying to be very, very smooth, and on that situation, Danny is one of the best ones. But today I say, okay, I will copy all the lines of Danny, and then I will push. I will do my style for a few laps. But Dobby, I was able to be behind him, but what we lose on the straight was too much, and then was nothing to do, but he did a really great job.
It was strange to see you off the podium last time out, and then you're back here now. So we don't know what to expect in Assen and Sachsenring in the next races. Do you know?
Impossible to know. I think it's impossible to know. Like you see, it's really up and downs. The positive thing for us is like Yamaha also have some circuits that they struggle. And lucky for us, we struggle in more circuits than them. But anyway, we are there. We must to keep pushing, because I know and I believe that when I will come back with the front feeling, I can be very strong.
Great job again, Mark. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, probably worth mentioning four podiums in nine races. So it was a great job today getting on the podium, and a massive outbreak of honesty going on in MotoGP today. He followed Danny round.
Yeah, but copied the lines. You know, we've never known Marquez to be smooth. He actually looked pretty good the whole race. Some of the braking techniques, typical Marquez, but he kept it on two wheels, so he's had a hard time doing that this weekend for most of it, but good job getting on the podium.
He had to be smooth, though, didn't he? Otherwise, he wouldn't have been on the podium.
He really did, and interesting what he says about how much he's losing on the straights. Every interview he's done recently has said that, and it's becoming to be frustrating for the Honda boys. I mean, he's losing about 0.3 to the Ducatis every time you go on the straight, and then he has to make that up every lap just to do the same lap time as them, so they've got some work to do.
Isn't it interesting, though, when you hear him talking about the way that he can change, he can flick a switch and change, and we watched him last year mentally change and say, right, I'm not going to win or bin, I'm going to go for the points sometimes and just, you know, just go steady and...
He forgot that this weekend.
Yeah, he forgot that most of the weekend. He remembered it right in the nick of time.
Yes. When it mattered, what he did was follow Danny, and he was smooth and then beat Danny. I'm sure Danny will love that.
He asked for way too much a few times this weekend, six times, five times to be exact. But when it come race time, yes, absolutely, he did what he had to do.
And he's got a great sense of humour. I mean, rolling around the floor like a Jack Russell. He's just taking the mickey out of himself all weekend.
It's the best way to deal with it, really. I mean, we actually respect him that he can crash so many times and it not bother him. I mean, he's a special motorcycle racer. I've never known anyone like that.
It's like he's bionic.
He is bionic. He's rock hard. He never lets go of the bike. When he crashes, he keeps hold of it. It picks it up before the marshals do. He runs faster than the marshals with it. He's a machine.
Yeah, he really is a machine. He's a man machine. Let's hear from Danny Pedrosa now, who had really been looking very strong all weekend and ended up third. I wonder how he's taken that.
Danny, well, a lot of people were thinking it might happen today, and it looked at one point as if you were just managing the race to perfection there. Tell us what happened from that halfway point on.
Well, I was trying to manage my tires all the way, because since the beginning I felt the grip was not there. I couldn't have enough grip on the rear, and I was struggling on the front to because I missed the rear grip. So I was managed. I tried to manage the tires, and at one point when I was leading, I tried not to push too much. So the group was there, everyone was following, and maybe they could break a little bit more early, save a little bit even more the tires at this stage. I could see Dovizioso's bike here in the straight line every time, shutting the throttle not to overtake me. So I understood it was a difficult situation. But, you know, we had to manage the race. Unfortunately, we couldn't push all we want. But overall, it was a good weekend. Pole and third place is magnificent here in front of the people, especially if we consider the last race, which was not good. So very happy to be on the podium, some points, and we now need to work again to find the best compromise for the front feeling.
You know, when you talk about the rear grip there, with your size sometimes, we know in the past it was hard for you to get it working, and it was spinning a lot. Was it the spin that was the problem?
Front slide and rear spin, yes. Unfortunately, but many bikes today were struggling on the track. Fortunately, we were still okay to manage the podium. So happy, good points, and focus again.
How much work is still to be done to make sure that this bike is working everywhere? You know, when we don't know what's going to happen at the next races.
We don't know. We don't know either. it's hard to say, and actually we don't know what to expect. So we need to be super focused for the next situation. Obviously, we would like that we can keep the good line.
Danny, thanks. Great job again. Well done.
Thank you.
We started off the day, of course, with Moto3.
It's the last lap then. Has Jorge Martin timed it right? Mir. That Fanati has always looked a little slack there, and through has come Mir and has forced Fanati. Now it's all going to be down to the chicane then. Martin is forced out by Mir, and that is push, shove, and determination indeed. Joao Mir, your series leader, didn't get there without a bit of pushing and shoving. He's made it through to lead and win the Catalan Grand Prix at the last gasp through the Formula One chicane. Joao Mir wins from Fanati, from your pole sitter, who is thwarted yet again through that forceful Mir.
What a ride from Joao Mir. What a ride from all of that front group.
we welcome one of the superstars from Moto3, Jorge Martin, today, who went from pole position. And he'd just been watching that highlights package with us. And I was watching your face at various stages. You were pretty happy with what you saw. But the end of that wasn't really what you wanted. Congratulations on your podium today. Can we go back to the start of the race, where you're in pole position?
Okay.
And you seem to be looking down at your bike. And then what happened at the start there?
Well, I made a really, really big mistake because I want to make the perfect start because I expect to go away from the group. But then I was looking at the RPM and it was a disaster. But well, I just stay calm, I try to recover as soon as possible, and then I was again on the lead, pushing so hard. And at the end I was struggling all the time in the fourth sector, and Mir passed me there, and yeah, again on the podium.
So I thought you were texting your girlfriend on the start. Maybe you had to make sure it went through.
Yeah, I was joking. Like, I don't know where. Yeah,
no, yeah. But so, my question is, on the last lap, because you came the whole front straight away, nobody passed you. Sure, you have to be thinking, maybe, you know.
Yeah, I was expecting on the straights a lot of moves, but then anyone passed me, so I was really relaxed.
I see you closed the door, closed the door. So I was like, okay, but then when Mir passed you, you expect him to pass you there?
I didn't expect that move. I wait for the next corner.
The next one, yes.
And he did amazing there. And also he stopped me good, so also Fenati passed me. But well, this is racing and happy to be back here.
And we've seen you have a fantastic season. You know, you had a great season last year on the Mahindra, but this year, what's changed with you? Because consistently on the podium.
Well, basically the Honda, no? I make the
it's
same.
It's a lot better.
Yeah, the Honda is another world. This bike is amazing. Also, my team is making a great job, and we are almost ready for the win.
Well, exactly. That's my next question to you. Your qualifying has been outstanding this year. Superb. Five pole positions. When are we going to see you on the top step?
Yeah, we are really, really fast. From the beginning of the year, I'm really confident with the bike. And I think this race was the best race of my life because I did amazing all the race. I was pushing, leading, fighting, I don't know. We are ready for win.
It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
I'm sure when the first one arrives, it will be a lot of wins.
Yes.
And what can you learn? You know, you said at the end, I don't want to watch this last bit because this is the first time you'd seen this. You know, the replays of it. Watching it back now, have you learned something already today?
Today I learned the first four races already because I was battling a lot. And yeah, I didn't want to see, but I need to see to improve my result for next race. And yeah, he did amazing. I should close the door there and I didn't close. And yeah, I will try to make better in the next one.
Jorge, one final question for you. Was that today one of the hardest races of the years?
It was really, really hard because of the hot conditions. With the Moto3 also, we struggle a lot with the tires because you make like 10 laps good and then it's always sliding. But we were all in the same situation and I felt great in front of the others. And yeah, it was a hard race.
Okay, Jorge, well, congratulations today.
Thank you very
on
much.
Your podium. We look forward to the win coming soon.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much. Well, I guess that you could say the one rider that made it all work perfectly for him was Joan Mir. However you look at it, he was on the top step today, and we can get his thoughts.
Joan, congratulations on that result today. 45 points now, the gap in the championship. I'm sure you're not thinking about that just yet, but talk us through that last lap and planning those. Did you plan them? Did you know those gaps were going to be there?
No, because during the race, I never overtake there. So I said, okay, this is a point when I can overtake maybe on the last lap, but it was really difficult, no? Happy because I didn't crash, so this is a good thing. And happy because today I managed the race really good. I stayed there in the group without taking any risk, and on the last lap I give all, but hope to continue like this.
We've just had the news that you signed up for 4 years with the Mark VDS team. What's made you make that decision?
I'm happy to be in Moto2 with that team, because for me I think that is the best one, and but this makes me keep calm this year, makes me to be calm, and this is a good thing. But to this year I have to finish well with Leopard, and then in November you can ask again Moto2, what do you think? But now it's not in my mind Moto2, it's Moto3.
Okay, it's great news. Let's hope it all works out for you later on this year. Well done, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's been confirmed today that he'll be moving up to Moto2, and there were rumours this morning, then we had confirmation. He says it's not in his mind. Really?
He's so full of it. He's got four paid years ahead of him. I mean, of course that's on his mind.
Sometimes it can mess with you, though, when you've signed something like that. I mean, I'm not sure. We don't know him well enough to know if he will kind of take the foot off the gas. He's so young. We don't know him, but no. It has happened in the past.
It has happened in the past. We don't know him well enough, but with what we've seen today.
Yeah, he's outstanding, isn't he?
He's the real deal. It's a cheesy sort of line. He is the real deal. And a four-year deal means, do you know what that means? 2 plus 2. That means 2 years in Moto2. 2 years in MotoGP. That's what he's thinking already.
Yeah, and we talked about him earlier, and you said, same as you, real deal, and looking forward, you know, we're looking at a future possible MotoGP world champion right there, aren't we? We're talking all things Moto2 now. We've got Tom Lutti coming up for you in just a moment.
Oh, Trotter's crashed. Let's take another look at it. Trotter's on 23. There's a bobble from Nakagami. Nakagami backed up into him. Alex Marquez is going to win the Catalonian Moto2 Grand Prix. It's been a class ride for Marquez the Younger as he comes to take the checkered flag here for Moto2. Alex Marquez dominant here in Montmelo.
Tom Lutti today on the podium, a great ride. It looked like a hard day out there.
Oh yeah, it was incredible tough, especially that heat, you know, not only for physical, for the body, but also for the tires. It was like kind of swimming around and you know, one of the keys to manage to bring the tire over distance. Yeah,
we don't normally have to think about that with Dunlops, do we, when you've got a track temperature over 50 degrees.
It was really tough, but actually it was like kind of I expected, you know, how the race would be. It was like I mean, Marquez had the pace, he had it in the warm-up already, and my plan was actually to try to have a good start and maybe I get the chance to break into him, you know, break his rhythm a little bit, but I didn't have the chance at all after this what happened in the first corner. I mean, I had really a good start, I came really well off from the line, and then I was on the outside, you know, I could not go to the inside, and
see Morbidelli right here coming up the inside and just kind of pushes both y'all out.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, Pasini had to open up, I had to open up, and then I had no choice, I had to go and cut this chicane, and then I was behind Pasini, yeah. And then I had to catch up these guys again, and this was like kind of hard work.
And it's been an interesting season, because we'd say Frankie Morbidelli dominate at first, and now I'm not saying he's doing bad, but he looks like he's human. And obviously he's beatable. You beat him twice now. Closing on the championship. Are you starting to believe that this year could be your year?
Yeah, for sure. We still believe it. We believed it all the races, after the races before as well. I mean, he won many races this year, four, I think. And I knew all the time he's not unbeatable, you know, this season. And you have to believe in yourself. And I think it's really important to continue the work, you know, take race by race, practice by practice, and continue working, you know. I think we can be even stronger as long as the season goes.
Do you prefer the tracks coming up?
Yes, this one here was a tough one. I mean, we were struggling in Jerez, actually, and now here this weekend we were also struggling a little bit, but we managed well to come back to the race, and I'm looking forward to the next races. I mean, Assen is great, it's brilliant. Just a big question about the weather always there, but yeah. I mean, we do the sport outside, so we riders are blaming all the time about the weather. Now we have sunshine, we blame about the heat, and then it's rain, and we blame about the rain. So, you know, it's always the same with these riders.
Tom, it's fascinating to hear you talking about, first of all, you were talking about the race plan, and when something like that happens at the beginning, it takes its toll on what you wanted to do, but you did get back there. And in terms of the championship, you know, even though Frankie's been dominating at times, four wins, you know, it's dominant, you've always been right there behind, and the gap in the championship, you've kept it so tight. So is it a case of pouncing when you can, you know, taking every opportunity that you can long term?
I think so. That's an important point. Yeah, I mean, by the end of the day, as a rider, you want to have that top spot, you know, you want to beat everybody after the weekend, you know. And I didn't have this victory yet this season, but we try to get there, you know. And I think it's important to be there as close as possible, and as soon as we get the chance to take it, you know, to take that victory. I think this is an important point. Yeah.
And it looked today, I mean, obviously we know it's hot, we keep talking about it. I thought when you got behind Pasini, I thought you were going to close him a little bit, but we know the Moto2. You have to be inch perfect, and you make one small mistake, you know.
it's not the big accordion effect like Moto Grand Prix bikes, but it looked tough when you're behind them just to try and catch them.
Yeah, exactly. It was exactly this situation, you know. I could smell the second place already, or fight for the second place, you know. So I risk a lot. I tried, and then I get a little bit in trouble with the front tire. So I had 2-3 moments, and then, yeah, maybe it's important to be clever enough, you know, and then to say, okay, I need to defend the third place and take this third place, because today was not more possible, point. And I have to respect this situation, you know, but maybe on the next race the situation is different. I think it's quite an important point, yeah.
Tom, thanks so much for your time today. It's always really fascinating to hear you chat, and
thank
we
you.
Wish you the best for Aston and, of course, moving forward. And we're
thank
always
you
here
much.
Watching your progress. So thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks.
And let's have a look then at the championship standings, because it's closed right down. Now, Tom is just 7 points behind the championship leader, Franco Morbidelli. Alex Marquez is in third place. Then Miguel Oliveira, fourth. Mattia Pessini, fifth now in the standings. Then Francesco Bagnaia. Taka Nakagami is seventh, Domi Egerter eighth, Luca Marini is ninth, and in tenth is Xavi Vierge. Now we can cross over to the boys in the box, our commentators, who've been watching everything with beady eyes, I think you could say, and they've probably been, you know, sweating in that box somewhat, I would imagine.
Beady eyes and sweaty brows. You're right there, Suze, I have to tell you. But me and Julian have been sitting here thinking about what we've just seen today. It's nice to be able to digest it while you guys are still working. I think the biggest thing for us was Alex Marquez. I mean, Moto3, it took him a while to come of age. He won the World Championship. Right now, with that performance, he really has got to grips now with Moto2, Jules.
You can't win Moto2 races by that distance. You just can't do that nowadays. It was done in the first year or two, noted by Iannone, but he just never gave him a chance. A second out of the pack in each of the first two laps, then eked out a bit more and controlled it. Brilliant.
Yeah, pretty impressive thing. But he's given the whole team a bit of a dilemma now, hasn't he? Because we've got that MotoGP situation at the end of the year. And we've got a bit of a poll running up on at BT Sport MotoGP, if you fancy it, on our Twitter feed. You're in charge of the Mark VDS team. Assuming you keep Jack Miller, who will be your second MotoGP rider in 2018? Will it be Alex Marquez? Will it be Franco Morbidelli? Or would you keep Tito Rabat? I think I know where I'd be going with that.
One thing about Alex Marquez, he's now won two races, both at home on Spanish tracks. I want to see him win away from home, and then I might be voting for him.
Assen next, which is a brilliant Moto2 track, and we're all looking forward to it. Let's then hear from Alex Marquez. He's had a great day today here in Catalonia.
Alex, congratulations. You just love riding at home, don't you? Two victories in front of home fans this year. But here in Catalonia, it's a bit special, isn't it? Standing up there on the fence in front of your own fans.
Yeah, it was so special. This victory is unbelievable. And yeah, I'm really happy because the race that we do it, that was so strong from the beginning. I passed the first lap and I saw it in the pit board, 09. I said, wow, come on, keep pushing like this, and I make the faster lap. So I feel really good on the bike. Just in the end, was a little bit difficult to control the front grip because it was a little bit in the limit. I have some movements, but in the end, I think I'm really happy. It's a really good, important victory, so we need to keep like this.
You were never worried you'd gone off too quick at the start?
No, because, you know, I know that if I push too much in the start, then maybe the tires will drop too much. But, you know, if somebody wants to follow me, we'll have the same problem. So I make that, and it was the perfect strategy.
You look fantastic on the bike now. A lot has changed this year. Are you starting to believe?
Yeah, I start to believe, I start to enjoy. Now I'm on the bike and we are one and not two. So this is really important. I enjoyed a lot on the bike also today. The race was long, but we did it, so really, really happy.
And it's great to see that. Enjoy the party tonight, Alex.
Thank you, thank you. Bye-bye.
OK, well, let's hear from Joan Zarco now, because he beat his teammate, who probably wasn't very happy about that, because he led for most of the way. Here's Joan Zarco.
Joan, how strange was that race for you, to have to fight your way through and then at the end start making up time, making up positions? Big learning process, I'm sure, for you in MotoGP, to have to do it that way round.
Big learning, I think, from the weekend, from Friday and Saturday, I struggled. I get a little bit stressful, and I think this has been the my weak point of the weekend. Then when I understood that what can bring me be stressful, anything, so I could be more relaxed on Sunday. I knew that everybody will struggle a lot, and in this kind of condition, even if I struggle, I think I have less problem than my opponents. So starting from 14 was complicated. You have to fight. Sometimes you try to break, but over 300 Ks, it's difficult to break. You can go wide. I had one contact with Espargaro that I've lost time. Again, with Lorenzo, when he missed the break of corner one, then he tried to do the corner two and was so limit. So two times I really thought that race is done, is over. But not, and I expect I can catch the first group. I was feeling good, but after half race, I was almost same pace, get tired also, and I trust that it's possible to take these guys for fifth position. I did it, and I'm pretty happy. It's just perfect after a difficult weekend like that.
Yeah, and top Yamaha. Well done, Joanne. Great performance. Thank you.
Thank you. See you.
Yeah, it really was a great performance all weekend for both of the boys, really. Stop leading.
Sorry.
Look at you. Tired
of it. Speaking about the Yamahas, when was the last time that both the satellite beat the factory guys?
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm not an encyclopedia, but we can ask Julian to quickly look that up. But that's a very good point. And my question to you is, what does that mean? How bad is this for the factory Yamaha team, do you think, really?
Whatever they've done, it does not work this year on low traction tracks. We figured that out at Jerez.
It's the rear of the bike that they couldn't get any grip from. Even if they moved the weight back, they still weren't getting it.
I'm not really sure, because I'm hearing no grip in the rear is causing the front not to turn, which, as we know, once you start losing this, it just doesn't transfer the weight to the front so they can turn it. So they got a mystery they got to try and solve pretty quickly.
Just the most bizarre weekend. Yamaha nowhere, Marquez 5 crashes, and Davizio wins again.
Exactly.
Bizarre.
Final thoughts, Davizioso, Deligna, Ciabatta, Tardozzi, I mean, all the Ducati guys, everybody, I mean, they spend so much money, and to have two in a row, amazing.
Yeah. Right, that's it from Barcelona. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time from round 8 of the season, the Cathedral of Speed, Assen.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.